Matt Bliss is the Republican candidate for Minnesota House District 5A. This includes Beltrami, Cass, some of Itasca, and the Leech Lake Tribal Nation. Matt Bliss joins us now. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Heidi.
Why are you running for this seat in the Minnesota House?
Well, I think, you know, over the past couple of years, we've seen some changes happen. I think that the governors, I think, need to be called into check. You know, I supported it. And now they're just going on 7 months, and I think it's time to get the legislature back into the mix again. And also, just the state's issues with the riots and law and order issues like that are really, really important and getting out of control down in the metro area, and I don't like the way that they're being handled down there.
Well, let's talk about some of the priorities for the people in your district. I'm going to make you choose two things that you think are the highest priorities.
Well, you know, I've been going door to door, and number one, two, and three are public safety, the law enforcement issue, the defunding of the police. Nobody up here wants to see that. The DFL candidate that went to Hugo and threatened to burn down rural Minnesota, I think really struck a chord up here. And I could feel the tide change when that happened. Unfortunately, our governor has endorsed him and has not rescinded that endorsement. And I've heard crickets from my opponents also. Number two, and it's certainly not a small thing, is Line 3. We've been fighting Line 3. That's big for our area up here, although it does bypass. The new Line 3 bypasses my entire district. It's still the economic impact will affect my district greatly. There's going to be thousands of good-paying jobs there. The property tax revenue to some of the counties that are in my district, but not necessarily my district, Cass and Hubbard, are going to see great increases in their property tax revenue. So that's a very big issue. My opponent says he supports it. But, you know, he did have a fundraiser and rally with Minnesota 350, some of the most radical environmentalists in the state, and they are completely opposed to Line 3. So even though he says he supports it, he still is taking the backing of the back group. So that kind of brings into question his support.
You know, I think you're a good person to talk to because you have held this seat in the legislature before for 5A. So you know how important one vote can be. Can you talk a little bit about that?
About one vote in the legislature or
a citizen vote, because that really has mattered to your race.
Yeah, last election cycle, out of 17,000 votes, I lost by 11 votes, and if you're doing the math, that's 7/1,000th of a vote, or of a percentage, I'm sorry, of the total vote. And, you know, don't let anybody say your vote doesn't matter. You know, when you look at the numbers and people vote in that presidential election, well, there's 60 million votes cast one way or the other. You know, you get to kind of go, my vote doesn't really matter. But you look at the local races, the school boards, the county commissioner, the city council, state representative, state senator. Our state senator, Dustin Eichhorn, won the last race by 500 votes. Now, that would have been out of 36 or 37,000 votes passed in that election. So your one vote really does matter, especially at the local level. The state representative, state senator, and all the way down to school board, your one vote does matter. And if you're really concerned what's happening to your community, get out there and vote. Your vote does matter. Be a part of the solution.
How do you feel about the election, how the elections are going in Minnesota? Do you have confidence in the system that we have set up for voting?
The system that we've used for years with the absentee mail-in balloting, where you request an absentee mail-in ballot, and there has been some of the smaller districts in Minnesota, for instance, my particular voting precinct, has always been mail-in balloting. We've got last election cycle, I think we had 90 votes out of my precinct. It's a very small area. And that's always been mail-in. And that's not that bad because 90 votes isn't that, 90 ballots isn't that hard to take care of. But what they're talking about doing right now is universal mail-in balloting, where they take the voter rolls and just say, we're going to send everybody a mail-in ballot. And I just heard on the news this morning that there were a couple thousand ballots in California that were mailed out that didn't even have the presidential race on it. So, you know, there is going to be some missed ballots, some undercounted ballots, and it's, you know, whether or not it's from malfeasance or just errors in the system, you know, of a system that we haven't tested, or, you know, also I heard the number of 500,000 ballots were discarded in the primary elections that did mail-in balloting because stuff like the signature didn't match. Something was out of line that didn't quite look right. So they threw 500,000 ballots away. You know, everybody's saying this election for president is going to be very close. I know my election is very close. You know, even 1%, 1% of the election, of the ballots being lost or miscounted, will tilt the election one way or the other. And again, I'm not saying it's malfeasance. It could be. You know, we saw the videos coming out of St. Paul, Minneapolis, where the ballot harvesting, where they're going in to the senior community and say, give us your ballots, we'll fill them out for you. And they're paying for the ballots. You know, there's that could go on. But also just getting, you know, how many times have you had something get lost in the mail? The mail carriers work really hard, but you carry thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of mail every day, and then you stack this on top of it. You know, there is the counting machines could malfunction, or the sorting machines could malfunction. It could be delivered to the wrong address. I've had that happen many times, and I know my local post office, they're good people, but sometimes they stick the mail in the wrong ballot, or I'm sorry, mail in the wrong P.O. box. You know, there's just too many things that could happen. Go in and vote. You can get your mail-in ballot. You can request an absentee ballot. Bring it down to the county and drop it in person. That way you know it's going to go into the ballot box. There's no chance for it to get lost that way.
We're talking with Matt Bliss today. He's the Republican candidate for Minnesota House District 5A. Let's talk a little bit about how the pandemic has affected you personally. You own a resort. How was the summer? How are things going?
You know, I was blessed to be in an industry that wasn't impacted negatively by the pandemic. The shutdown did not affect resort business. It did a little bit in the spring, when we couldn't accept short-term campers, which really didn't make any sense to me, because that very same camper, which is, by the way, a standalone, self-contained unit, could come in and rent a seasonal spot from me, but couldn't rent a month spot from me, or a weekend, or a week. And again, they're self-contained. You're self-isolating in your little camper. You've got your own toilet facilities, your own water, your own kitchen. You know, you go out on the lake, you're with your family. That made no sense to me. But we had a banner year. People were they wanted to get out of the cities. Resorts are a natural place to go and get self-distance and still get away, or social distance and still get away from the city, but stay with your family, get that family bonding time out on a lake. You know, my resort's smaller, so the cabins aren't really crunched together. You got, oh, probably 150 feet between each cabin. And the RV sites, same thing. You know, the sites are at least 40 feet wide, so there's plenty of area to social distance. And I didn't open my bar all summer because I didn't want to have to deal with the whole mask mandate and all that. But other than that, it was a great summer for resorters in general. And the whole outdoor recreation industry, you go out right now and try to buy a side-by-side and you're not going to find one. And if you are, you're going to pay through the nose for it.
You know, let's go back a little bit to how the governor has handled the pandemic. There's been gridlock at the legislature in the special sessions. Your opponents would say that the Republicans have held up things like a bonding bill and supplemental budget bill because of the governor's executive powers. What's your take? What do you think should happen? They're saying that there will be another special session in October.
Well, I don't think there's any secret. I think Speaker Daudt came out and said that quite clearly, that until the governor releases his executive powers, that he's not going to vote on a bonding bill. I mean, there's no secret to that. Whether or not that was the right approach, you know, I'm not down there. I don't know what's behind the scenes. You know, as far as the governor and how he's handled it, you know, I was all for it. When you remember back when this first hit, we were seeing videos come out of China of people falling down on the streets, dead bodies laying all over the hospital covered up. We did not know what we were going to get into. I was supportive of the governor and the 15 days to slow the spread, allow our hospitals to get up to speed. But that was 7 months ago, The emergency is no longer there. The virus is still there, and virus is very serious, and we still need to protect our vulnerable population. But the emergency is gone. We need to get the third branch of government, which he has eliminated through his executive powers, back into the loop. You know, think about this. If this was on the other foot, if this was a Republican governor completely shutting out the Democrat legislature and 201 duly elected representatives of the people of Minnesota are kept out of the decision-making process, what do you think they'd be, the other side would be saying? And rightfully so. The governor should not be keeping us out of the decision-making process. He has silenced 201 duly elected representatives of the state.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and I've heard it from both Democrats and Republicans as we do these, especially in rural areas, as we do these interviews. Sometimes what I don't understand, though, is that governors throughout the nation have these executive powers as well as the president. So just to push back on you a little bit, what does that mean anything? Is there something different about Minnesota that the governor shouldn't have those powers anymore?
Well, look at what he's done. He's purchased a $7 million morgue with taxpayer money. Again, no input from the legislature. He's got, I think the number is $2 billion in spending. He's implemented a mask mandate throughout the state, and some people say that's good. I think that we're an educated public. I think we should be able to make our own decisions. And especially, and I said this before, too, that it should be at the local level. You know, when Bemidji put through their mask mandate, I didn't like it, but if it's going to be done, that's where it should be done, not at the state level. And, you know, the other governors, they haven't shut down the state like us. A lot of the Democrat governors have, but a lot of the Republican governors haven't. And Governor Dayton look at his shutdown orders. He shut down. You couldn't go to church. You could only have 10 people in church and you couldn't sing. And then, now he's got, 25% indoor, capacity for restaurants and bars and, you know, or maybe it's 50 by now. I don't know. I can't keep track of his changing the goalposts, you know, but just look at the lady down in Hastings. She got fined $7,000 because her employee was wearing a mask, but it didn't meet mask standards. What the heck are the mask standards? You know? I don't know. She tried to keep up with them, but she got fined $7,000. I think they said they were going to drastically reduce the fine, whatever that means. But again, he's making these decisions without including the voices of the elected people. And when we went back to the beginning again, he had a buddy that was a college buddy of his that owned the largest candy store that was allowed to open because he sold apples and they considered it a grocery store. How fair is that when I've got Main Street Bemidji and Main Street Walker with the small shops, small family businesses that these guys don't have the deep pockets of the Walmarts and the Targets. You know, everybody thinks that small businesses run, you know, and the owners are rich. These guys, I've run a small business. I've signed both sides of the paycheck. I'm the last one to get paid on that business. People that run these small businesses don't have a lot of extra money, and thank God that we're not losing all of them. We have lost some, but again, he needs to let the legislative people. That's your voice he's silencing. It's not the legislators. It's your voice he's silencing, and he needs to relinquish the powers and get the legislative people back in. What the other 49 or 48 other states do, I really could care less. Our governor is overstepping, and he needs to allow the legislature back in and let the people have their voice.
That is Matt Bliss. He's the Republican candidate for Minnesota House District 5A. You can find information at his website, mattbliss.us. Thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Heidi. Appreciate it.